This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Open for Business. Christy Ng of Christy Ng Shoes first came to the scene with a huge following on Facebook. I first interviewed her in 2011, nearly 10 years on. She's had many ventures, including winning the Alliance Bank BizSmart Challenge. To think I've actually bought shoes from her home. And now she has 7 stores with 2 more to come next year. We also share the same birthday, but many years apart because she's way older. Kidding. And nice to be seeing you, Christy. You know, I've only mentioned the highlights I know. There have been other accolades too, right? So can you tell us what these are, apart from the Alliance Bank BizSmart Challenge?
Hi, Frida. I think after winning the Alliance BizSmart Challenge, we were also awarded the Cradle CIP 500 commercialization grant. So I think that really helped us to get to where we are today. We've also been nominated Women Entrepreneur of the Year, where we were a finalist in 2017.
Wow. And this is so this has been 10 years, right? Now, you've very successfully had a few collaborations, from working with Kale Hilton to partnering with Somewhere Bags. Who else have you tied up with? And how do you feel that collaborations and partnerships have helped your business?
I think collaborations have helped us a lot. In early 2019, we've collaborated with Yuna, an international singer, and we managed to bring more exposure and more interest to our brand. And also in 2019, for Hari Raya, we worked with Shah Yaya, that was last year. And this year, we had the privilege of working with Mira Filza, another Malaysian actress. So each time we do all these collaborations, we add new dimension, we add new breath to our collection. Mm. We worked very closely with all these celebrities to create designs which reflect their personality and their personal style. All these collaborations help us attract new fan base.
Right.
So that actually translates to sales for us.
Now, you have also become a celebrity of sorts, an influencer of sorts, with brands tying up with you. Now, how do you think that is also important to the Christy Ng brand?
Oh, that is a bit unexpected. I'm always willing to help people because I know that it's really tough building a brand. I've been struggling for the past 10 years trying to build this brand. So I know how hard it is. So when people approach me and ask for help, I always try my best to help. And I think it's just me doing my part. You know, I like to see people succeed. So I just try whether it's skincare brand asking me to help them do some postings or any female-related product, I always do it willingly.
Right. Okay. Now, tell us what happened to your physical stores during MCO?
Yeah, okay. At first, I think it was a big shock. It came as a big shock to me. Yeah, I was unprepared for the closure. So the first thing that came into my mind was, how do I pay rent? How do I pay salary? Like every other entrepreneur, we go through this period of uncertainty, you know, doubt. And so basically, I had to close all my stores. So I had 0 sales coming in from my 7 retail stores. Mm-hmm. But I was fortunate because I was fortunate enough to have a e-commerce platform which cushioned for the losses of income in all these shopping malls. Mm-hmm. Because I'm very fortunate to have started e-commerce in early 2012.
Right.
So we've always been an e-commerce company first and a retail company second. So we went multi-channel in 2016. But prior to that, we were always an e-commerce company. So what we saw during MCO was e-commerce, we've experienced like a 400-500% growth in our e-commerce channel. And I guess that those customers who were not able to buy offline, they came to our website and buy online. So that was when, in my 10-year history of doing this business, that was the first time we saw really huge amounts of orders coming in through web.
Right.
And I guess that people were stuck at home, they were bored, they had, and they still wanted to buy our product. So they purchase, just like you, Frida, you also support us.
Yes. And I was just saying that, you know, I can buy food every day, but I can't buy shoes every day. So, you know, we've been having sales, 9-9 sales, 10-10 sales, 11-11 sales. Are sales and discounts still effective? And do they still pull the numbers?
I did not do any discounts during the 9-9 sale. Mm-hmm. I did not participate. I think consumers are looking for value. They're looking for their money's worth. discounts are definitely attractive. Everyone loves discounts. But I think this heavy discounting on a regular basis is something that's not sustainable for a brand. So what I believe in is, yeah, we can do the occasional discount or say end-of-season clearance or maybe an annual warehouse sale kind of discount. I think it's still meaningful for the customer. Right. But if you're doing discounts every month, as a customer myself, I will start to think, you know,
I'll wait for the sale.
Probably your markup is really high.
Right.
Your margin is very, it's huge. That's why you can give discount every month. Mm. We believe in selling the product at a very, very good price, like a really logical and, you know, it has to be worth the customer's money rather than giving discounts, heavy discounts every month. I don't think that strategy is sustainable.
You know what? Even with your stores, right, offline stores, what were landlords like?
I think our landlords were amazing. They were very supportive. They really supported us. They provided us rental support throughout the pandemic, throughout the closure, and they were very understanding. I was pleasantly surprised. Like, especially, I got a shock one day when I woke up from sleep and my friend sent me a WhatsApp saying that Sunway has waived rental. I was shocked. I didn't expect that. So I called them to confirm it. And I think they were very supportive. They are one of the first landlords that reached out to us and say, we're giving you free rent during the pandemic, but for the first 14 days. That time, we didn't know it was going to be extended. So, yeah, we were very blessed. Our landlords were very supportive.
Okay, most of them.
Most of them. Yeah, very supportive.
Okay, so the good ones were Sunway, and I believe you told me Mid-Valley as well.
Yeah, extremely supportive. Very good landlord.
So credit where credit's due, right? Did you go more aggressive online, you know, in terms of marketing strategies and all that?
Yes. We used that. I think during the MCO, I had a lot of time to rethink and re-strategize my business. So I did a lot of live streaming, and that really, really helped. Each time we ran live streaming, our website just crashed and crashed and crashed because of the traffic. So I realized that, you know, there's so much more room to grow online. And whatever I've been achieving online is barely, it has so much more room to grow.
Right.
So during MCO, I did try a lot of things. I had a lot of time to try a lot of things which I've never tried before. Because I think, what we did was we increased our marketing spend online and we did a lot more engagement via live streaming. You know, we every night we had a different celebrity or different influencer come online to do a live chat with us on our Instagram account. And I think that really, really helped increase our followers, and definitely that translated to sales as well.
So the live streaming wasn't so much about particular shoes or particular bags, but it was just like getting people to come on board to talk and all that. And that helped in just increasing your followers and, you know, which translated into sales later.
Yes, we were even talking about financial planning. We were even just gossiping on live streaming, just gossiping, you know, talking about maybe beauty tips and what's nice to eat during MCO. What can you cook at home? You know, we did like a few live streaming where we got celebrity chefs to show our followers how to do meal preps at home. You know, we did asam pedas ayam, and that was a big hit.
Right.
I know we don't sell food, but because our audience are female, they really engaged with the cooking content that we put up. You know, we also did cleaning content, how to clean your house. We did, makeup. You know, we did like makeup tutorial. We even like just had like, you know, casual chit-chat, laid-back casual chit-chat session with different celebrities.
Right.
So we had people like Lisa Suriani doing our MCO. She was really nice and supportive to help us. You know, they wanted to help the SMEs as well. So they, you know, they took out their time, you know, 1 hour of their time to just, you know, do a joint live with us online on our Instagram account. And their followers automatically, you know, paid a lot of attention to us. And that definitely translated to sale. And I think what consumers wanted to see during MCO was content. And we did that pretty well with all the different celebrities giving us different types of content every night. What I understand from my customers was it was really something to look forward to. Every day at 8 p.m., they will come to our Instagram account and we'll have a different celebrity. So they like that feeling of, you know, just watching two people talk. And then it was very engaging because all our followers could ask questions during the live session about anything, you know, and we would just reply. It was really, really, they felt closer to us as a brand and also closer to me. You know, they could ask me any kind of question. They could also complain about my service or my product, and I would try to reply them. You know, they felt closer and they had a voice. So I think that really engaged them.
Right. We'll talk a little bit about how consumer behavior, whether that will change permanently in just a moment. I'm here with Christy Ng of Christy Ng Shoes. Stay tuned to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu, and you're listening to Open for Business. I'm here with Christy Ng of Christy Ng Shoes. We've been following her story since way back in 2011, nearly 10 years on. She's offline and online. And, you know, in your 10 years of business, right, with the pandemic, is this the toughest you've been through?
Yes, I would say this was one of the toughest periods in my career. But at the same time, it was a really eye-opening one. You know, I realized that how much I've not been doing. Mm. You know, I've been focusing so much on so many other things, but I was not focusing on digitalizing my business and focusing on my e-com channel. So during the lockdown period, I really started to, you know, relook at how I run my business. I actually just migrated to a new website because my old website couldn't take the load that we're doing anymore. So we actually migrated to better infrastructure.
Right.
We've also take steps like, you know, hosting on cloud. Before that, we were still hosting in servers, you know, and we were using accounting software which sits on servers, server-based accounting software. So during the MCO, we couldn't get our accounts done because it was not on cloud. So we learned hard lessons like that.
Right.
We were too comfortable with the old things, the old technology, the old platforms that we were using, you know. And MCO was a shocking awakening for us, you know, to change and to evolve with time.
Right. It's a revelation. It's things like HR, payroll, accounting, all these back-end things, which, you know, we need to get on the cloud. That's that sort of thing, right?
Yes. We moved everything to cloud now already. Everything. Mm. From payroll to HR, everything, our POS, even our retail POS now is on cloud as well. We moved everything A to Z. Nothing else is on servers already. We moved everything to cloud.
So how did you handle staffing challenges during this period?
Yeah, it's really challenging because I have a big retail team, and to get them to work from home is very, very challenging because they've never worked from home before and their primary job scope is to work within a retail store setting. Mm. So it was difficult to get them engaged because most of them, they do not have computers or internet connection at home.
Right.
Some of them, not all of them have internet connection at home. So we try to do a lot of training. So we will do a Zoom training with them, like try to get them up to date with the latest products or selling skills, or just do brush up their selling skills, give them real life problems and teach them how to troubleshoot. You know, we also get them to text their WhatsApp their regular customers and, you know, try to send to re-engage with their customers who have visited the store before. We've also get them to assist us in data entry for our new CRM system. So we try to engage them because they were at home for really long, for quite a significant period of time. And, you know, we just didn't want them to lose touch with what we're trying to do online. So we try to get them involved in our e-com operations as well, like helping us to reply emails to customers, replying Facebook, Instagram messages. So that was how we tried to, you know, get our retail team who are working from home active during the MCO period.
Right. You learn new skills, use other skills as well, right?
What we even promoted one of our retail staff to customer service in our office.
Oh, okay. So studies in the US have shown that consumers in the fashion segment shifted to purchasing casual items during lockdowns like homeware and workout gear. Did you notice similarities here? And did you try to capture this market, maybe like flip-flops and stuff like that?
Yes, we definitely tried our best to capitalize. We did notice a change in consumer preferences during the MCO period and RMCO. So we launched our grocery bag because we knew that everyone would still need to shop for groceries and you're only allowed to go out the house for groceries.
Right.
So we launched our grocery bag at 44 ringgit. And that was a big success for us.
Right. Okay. Who knew, from shoes to grocery bags? So what happened to the wedding shoe collection this time? It was quiet.
because unfortunately, people are not encouraged to get to have weddings this year. Mm-hmm. So we sort of like scaled back a bit on the wedding shoes. We focused more on casual shoes and grocery bag. We also have our own apron now, which matches with the grocery bag. And you can personalize your name on the grocery bag. So that has been a winner for us. Okay. A lot of our customers love that. So we suddenly see, you know, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, and grandchildren all using the same grocery bag, going outings together. Now, if you go to my Instagram, you can see a lot of lovely family pictures of the whole family using our grocery bag, going out and about, for a holiday in Redang or Langkawi, or going grocery shopping together. So it's been quite a phenomenon for us. It's quite a big success for us. So we're starting to see males and grandmothers and grandfathers using our product.
Right. So this is something that's beyond ladies' shoes, right? This is something that everybody can use.
So it's a blessing in disguise. Mm. We had this idea came about during the MCO because I realized that, I'm only allowed to go out to buy groceries. So that idea sparked during the MCO period.
Right. Now, with a flurry of businesses going online, right, how do you cut through the clutter and stand out? I mean, how do you deal with, I'm sure they're copycats.
Mm. Yeah, I think I had a major issue with counterfeit products since 2019, April. We started to see our counterfeit products in, you know, all these online marketplaces, you know, and also in random stores by the street and stuff like that.
Wow.
We are actually taking action on all these counterfeiters. We're trying to take them to court and we're going to take very, very serious action on them because we believe that we're still in process on doing that.
Mm.
Yeah, we have major counterfeit issues.
Wow.
And we're also working very closely with all the marketplaces to remove our counterfeit products being sold on their sites.
Wow. Who knew? I mean, it's like, you know, I guess imitation sometimes is a serious form of flattery, but maybe not so.
Yeah, this is counterfeit. I never imagined that we will have counterfeit products.
Right.
We are not, we are not a
Tiffany's.
Louis Vuitton, we're not a Chanel. You know, we never imagined we will have counterfeit products. So it's pretty shocking. If you go to like a counterfeit store, you can see the counterfeit LV, Gucci, Chanel, and then you can see our counterfeit Christy Ng. It's so amazing. It feels strange, actually.
Right.
I didn't know there's a market for our products because our products are very affordable. And I cannot imagine, it's hard for me to imagine that there is a counterfeit of a already very affordable product.
Right.
Usually only luxury brands have counterfeits.
Mm. So, okay, what about loyalty programs and EDMs? How effective are they?
I think loyalty programs are important. We'll be rolling out a loyalty program really soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think the underlying importance of all this loyalty program is actually the data collection because data is as good as gold now.
Mm.
I'm trying, on my part, I've not been doing really good data collection. So I'm actually trying to collect more data fields from all my customers because all this data will eventually help us form our future strategy moving forward. So yes, loyalty program is very important. And I would say it is effective in terms of re-engaging the customer and also formulating your future plan for your company. Yeah, so it's a two-pronged kind of look when you do loyalty program.
Okay. And you know, you have 7 stores and are planning to open more. Why do you think this is a good idea when people say times are going to be tougher next year?
Okay, I think that Malaysia is a very, very, as a high-growth nation and the population is, we've got like almost 30 million population and we're much bigger than Singapore. So I think that my stores are mostly currently located in Klang Valley and also in Johor. I would like to open stores in new catchment areas where I do not have an existing store. So any store which is far enough from my existing stores and allows us to tap into a new catchment area, we will definitely explore.
All right.
Reason is running an e-commerce business is also expensive. A lot of people think that e-commerce is cheap because you don't have to pay rent and so on and so forth, but it is not really true. E-commerce comes with a lot of costs. When you open a physical store, it is as if I open a store in Wan Utama. Wan Utama has an existing, a flourishing customer base and a ready customers who can just walk into my store any minute to grab a product. So we are paying them a premium for the rent because of the quality customer base that they provide to us. So we're building a house in a very strategic location. But when we open an e-commerce store, there's no ready traffic for us. There's no ready customer base for us. So we need to spend a lot of money to drive traffic. to get people interested to come to our unknown location. Yeah, so when I open an e-commerce store, there's no existing customers who will just magically walk in my, click to my website and buy. It doesn't work like that.
Right.
So brick and mortar is very different from e-commerce in the sense that it has ready customer base, whereas e-commerce, you need to spend a lot more money to acquire the customer base. So the cost is equally as high as opening a brick and mortar store, if you ask me.
Okay.
Because we have like Facebook ads where we have to pay withholding tax now, and there's no tax on e-commerce sales.
Right.
You have to pay for courier delivery, you know, and you need a big team to manage your e-commerce sales, customer service. It's not as simple as what people think, because a lot of people think that e-commerce is very cheap. But when you factor in the logistics, the customer service, the infrastructure cost, the technology cost, and the marketing cost to acquire that customer, opening a retail store isn't such a bad idea after all, you know, if you look at the cost in that manner.
Right. Thank you so much for your time and sharing some insights into your business. All the best for the next 10 years. I've been speaking to Christy Ng of Christy Ng Shoes. You've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.